The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Into the land of civilization came Nyarlathotep, slender and sinister,
and gave exhibitions which sent his spectators away speechless.
Men advised one another to see him and shuddered.
Where he went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare.
It was in the hot autumn that I went through the night with the restless crowd.
I saw hooded forms amidst ruins, and I saw the world battling against blackness.
I screamed aloud.
I was not afraid.
That I could never be afraid.
And others screamed with me for solace.
Beyond the world's vague ghosts of monstrous things.
Corpses of dead worlds with sores that were cities. Charnel winds that brush the pallid stars.
And through this revolting graveyard of the universe, the muffled, maddening beating.
The crawling chaos.
Masks of Nyarlathotep.
Configurations in mutation.
Erica arranges a car and a hotel stay in Arkham. Who's going? Uno?
I mean, he's under Fortress of Solitude, so I think we can all three go safely.
I would assume.
And if not,
I mean, he's already lost one leg, right?
Lucas, make me a library use roll.
Oh, I have those.
I mean, you're reading.
You need to read the books and send a telegram every 5 hours.
That is a just shy of an impale.
So you can make
spend
it an impale
it,
if you want.
It,
yep, I'll spend one luck to make that work.
Wonder if those special spells make you grow limbs back.
Do you have? You don't.
What was that spell Jeff
don't
learned?
Don't have that.
To make himself look like he was healed, when in reality he was melting on the inside?
Yeah.
Okay, Lucas, we'll get back to... give me an idea roll. With a bonus die. You impaled.
I did. What was my idea again? 40.
You're going to need that bonus die.
60. What am I? Am I rolling this one again?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. We will get back to that. But remind me, you impaled and you passed the roll.
Can I...
The idea roll.
Take my book with me? Will she allow me to take the book with me to read it on the way?
I don't... It's not a modern car or modern drive. I don't know how much reading on the way, air quotes, you can actually do.
No. It's for when we have to wait long trains that go on for ages. And then when we get to the hotel and we have to wait 2 hours to have an appropriate dinner time. And then there's the time.
Sure.
We got a decent drive, a night's stay. Flashlight will help me read.
Sure. The driver loves that.
Driver don't care.
You find a hotel stay in Arkham.
Did we pay a driver? Because I care. If I'm the one driving.
No. I'm sure
my dice aren't good tonight.
I'm sure we're provided.
I would like to point out that you are also not going alone.
Well, yeah.
Mr. Corey is accompanying
obviously.
You.
Obviously.
And he's not driving, which means we have a driver.
You do have a driver.
Do we take the Phantom?
You probably take something a little more roadworthy than the Phantom.
Yeah. Okay.
You're going to take especially something a little more hearty.
Do I get that roll?
Yes, I will give you your library use roll. Which one were you reading again?
The Narcotic Manuscripts.
The Narcotic Manuscripts.
Ew, that's not good.
Is that a fail?
Yeah.
I'll let that count as one.
Cool.
So you can go up to 5.
I passed my roll and still only got 1.
Because I'm pretty sure I let you roll a d4. Don't look at me. I didn't roll
as
the D4.
She quietly stuffs snacks
I'm
into her
sulking.
Face.
Okay, you can sulk. So we'll move on to what is it? Wednesday now, Jasmine?
Yeah. Indeed.
Is it Cowles? It is Cowles.
Cowles, yeah. Yep. Australian.
Anthony Cowles, PhD.
But is he a criminal or a descendant of a criminal? With a name like Cowles, probably.
Well, he's Australian, so descendant of criminals, yes.
That was what I was referencing.
Literally.
He's got a British name living in Australia in 1925. Yeah, he's probably descendant of a criminal.
Wow. Xenophobic, Jasmine.
No, it's just facts.
No.
Literally, Australia's a colony of criminals.
It's a penal colony.
Yeah.
She said penal.
That means dick, right?
I knew that would land well.
Lucas, since you came back and I haven't found everything that I want to talk about yet, let's go back to your roll.
Which roll?
The impaled roll.
Gotcha. What? I made two rolls.
Yeah, a luck, or no, a library use, and then an idea.
Which roll?
The idea roll that gives you the idea of what you just read.
So you begin to read these poems, and you find them very symbolic. They seem very familiar. Like, it bothers you how familiar they seem. And you're not sure why. But you begin to read, and most of them are just very sort of esoteric and weird. The only one that really intrigues you is a poem called The Trappings of a Queen, which seems to describe the regal accoutrements and, you know, sort of decorations of a ruler. And based on the way that it describes it, you would assume that this is Egyptian. So you're thinking, like, is it Pharaohs? I don't know what...
I think they still call them Pharaoh.
Hey, okay, it's... Right, but I want to make sure it is called Trappings of a Queen. It is distinctly female garb.
A la Queen of Sheba?
Sure, maybe.
Okay, so did everybody get what I'm saying with Queen of Sheba? You have any idea where I'm going with that?
No.
Okay, so the Queen of Sheba was someone who came and visited King Solomon and brought him great wealth from Egypt. And there are rumors throughout history that there was an affair. There was also mention of King Solomon's mines, which is why they left and went to Kenya. So I'm making the reference because if there's no queen in Egypt, it's just a pharaoh. I mean, there are some that get called queen if they're married to the pharaoh, but like trappings of a queen talking about Kenya and already having talked about King Solomon's mines, theoretically, is one of the rumors of why the Carlisle expedition went to Kenya. That to me instantly indicated Egyptian and also Queen of Sheba. There's my nerd for tonight.
I like it.
Thanks. It may or may not be true. I may not know Lovecraftian lore, but gosh darn it, I got my biblical lore down. And all the apocryphal.
Anything further?
Also, yes, I was double checking a rule.
Masonic lore.
Lucas, you need to permanently mark off the top 2 points of your luck. So mark off, what is it? Does it start at 100 or does it start at 99?
99.
So you need to mark off 99 and 98 as you gain 2 points of Cthulhu Mythos.
Ooh.
Because this was a very easy read. I also need you to roll sand.
Which is not high.
Actually, hold on. No, I think it's just, sorry. I think it's just automatic loss.
Is it?
Yes. For reading.
Oh, for reading, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's just the fact that this slowly... There is no big thing. So, like, if you lose 10 or something crazy, like, you don't go insane because the thought is you've read this over time.
Right.
You lose 1.
Cool.
So his max went down by 2. His mythos went up by 2. And
yes,
lost
they're,
his sand.
Yes, they're inversely it's proportional. Max,
you said max luck, not max sand. Do I mark off max
sorry,
sand or max
sand,
luck?
Yes. Okay. You mark off the top 2 points of sand.
Sorry, when he said mythos, I auto-corrected in my head to it being Sam.
Yes.
I didn't catch it. He said luck and I got confused.
The name Justin Jeffrey.
Yes.
As the writer also really like intrigues you.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a phone call because some of the poems seem familiar. And you're able to confirm by talking to like, say, the New York Public Library that these poems are actually found in a book called People of the Monolith.
Okay.
Which was, yeah, sorry, I'll do an editorial edit here because I already started. It's really annoying. People of the Monolith technically doesn't get published for another year.
No.
It is in an upcoming book called People of the Monolith that somehow you already knew. I wanted to credit your impale.
You made a call and they were like, oh yeah, we're publishing a book like that.
We'll just say it was published a couple of years ago. It really doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure People of the Monolith is another shout out.
I was going to say, I've heard that before.
You have heard that before. in other Cthulhu games.
No.
Is
that in Tatters? Did I come up in Tatters?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was Tatters.
There's a lot of monoliths in Tatters. That's what I was trying to figure out.
So yeah, that's what you get. The only, like I said, all the poems are just kind of weird, creepy monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that is sticking out in your mind is this, I guess it's probably for Cecil, the fact that you're talking a lot about Egypt, that sort of Egyptology, the Egypt theme really stuck out to you.
Nothing written on the margins, nothing weird.
No, not at all. Although the book felt really weird and it made you uncomfortable to hold it.
This book is squishy.
After reading it, did it tell you what it was bound in?
No.
No, that's why you keep saying it's squishy.
I don't think it's squishy. I think it's
feels funny.
Yeah.
Sorry, now we'll go to Wednesday. So Wednesday, early morning, we'll say you have an appointment at 10 o'clock or something to that effect. You're given directions to the...
department?
Mm-hmm. Professor Cowles has an office in the Liberal Arts Building. And he sends you... You're sort of just directed to his office. The door is open. The secretary there says, oh, yes, Professor Cowles is in a lecture. He should be with you shortly. If there's anything I can do, I'll be down the hall.
May we listen to a bit of his lecture?
Give me one moment.
Let me see that. This is his slides from mm-hmm. his presentation in New York.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I was going to be like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask. I'm just going.
I want to be pointed in the right direction if he's almost done with class.
I want to pop in and see what he's talking about.
Exactly. But I'm not going to go wandering around opening classrooms. Sybil's more cultured than that.
Eustace isn't.
I know.
You hear a voice in the hallway. Miss Cowles, could you assist me? You see an absolutely stunning young woman walk in with the secretary who directed you here. Long curly red hair. Light shorter dresses than currently in fashion, apparently. Can I help you, Jasmine?
My thoughts were, as Eustace, bruh, a liberal.
No, I would say that any red-blooded American interested in ladies would notice this woman walk by.
When did they start?
That was very PC of you. I'm very proud.
I know. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do. I wanted to let you know verbally.
I know.
I approve of that.
I thought about being really terrible, but I knew you would be that way, so. You see, the secretary. Oh, so I'm sorry. This is Professor Cowles' daughter. I'm sorry. I'm not very good with this sort of thing, but she can help set it up, the gramophone.
Yes, that would be lovely.
Yes. Here. Miss Cowles.
I'm Sybil, by the way.
And she speaks with a slight Australian accent. Good morning. Best I got.
I'm looking for a name. I'm waiting for a name.
I know. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce the name because I looked it up.
Huh? Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. He's got two. when he starts to half speak French and Irish. That's about it.
I think she would pronounce it as Eva. It's E-W-A.
Charmed.
Eva.
As you say, that's what I would thought, but looking at the pronunciation guide, I remember it was weird and I couldn't remember what it was when I looked it up. At least pronouncenames.com says it's E as in pet, V as in very, and U as in up. So, Eva. I just think it's spelled strangely. Yes. My father's lecture. You're interested in his Cult of Darkness lecture, yes?
Certainly, or whatever lecture he's giving at the moment.
Oh, no. Because you showed her the playbill, right?
Yeah.
No. That lecture was recorded.
Oh!
As she sets up the gramophone. Portions of it, I believe. It wasn't perfect, but... Yes, a portion of it was recorded. I apologize. The audio is not great. I don't think all of it is... I don't think all of it's here, but you can at least get some semblance of it. I'm assuming that you're here for more information about that lecture. Yes. Would you like to hear the recording?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Do we have much time before he is out of his next class and is able
to be with us? Thematically appropriate amount of time, as this Wonderful. Audio is somewhat summarized to be less than 4 minutes.
So, I also assume he's going to thematically walk in as we're finished.
That would bode very well for what we're doing.
From the University of Sydney in Australia.
Sorry, Professor, we missed part of that. Can you start again?
Right. Hello, or good day as we say in my country. I'm Professor Anthony Cowles, guest lecturer from the University of Sydney in Australia. I hope you folks will bear with me tonight. Folks at the uni have asked us to use the earphone to record tonight's lecture. Or next day. tonight I'd like to, I'll be discussing the cult of darkness in Polynesia and the Southwest Pacific. So, to begin, I'd like to start with the Marshall Islands. And could you advance to the next slide, please? Thank you very much. So, here we, problem with the recorder. It'll just have to try to keep up. So, then, another of the cults in this region is an Aboriginal belief in a god known to them as the Father of All Bats. In this primitive form of worship, the believers are thought to have made human sacrifices to their god, and in doing so, they became worthy to receive a visitation by the Father of All Bats, and once this god was enticed to appear, he would conquer all men. The sacrificial victims were run through a gauntlet of worshippers who struck them repeatedly with a bat. Sorry, I don't mean that kind of bat. I mean a cudgel or a club. And this club wasn't machine. This club was embedded with the sharp teeth of bats. The teeth were coated with a poison somehow derived from fermented bat droppings. Apparently, victims went mad before they died. It's said leaders of the cult could take the form of bat-winged snakes, and this enabled them to steal sacrifices from across the land. Now, my evidence suggests this cult's gone extinct and dormant at any rate, and these rites haven't been practiced for hundreds of years. However, if we look to the southeast, the song cycle mentions a place where enormous beings gathered somewhere in this region of Western Australia. The songs say that these gods were not at all like men, and built great sleeping walls and dug caves, but living winds blew down the gods and overthrew them, destroying their sleeping places. When this happened, the way was open for the Father of All Bats, who came overexposed. But in this slide, these men are standing near what could be interpreted as a carved stone of megalithic proportions. If you look here, and here, you can see markings that could be some kind of decoration. Unfortunately, Mr. McGuire's party, who found these megaliths, were assaulted shortly after the discovery. Interestingly, the report given by Mr. McGuire suggested the death of one of his men came from hundreds of small punctures, thus bringing to mind the abandoned practices of the Sandbat cult. Authorities made this with... From this region here, near the Arafura Sea in northern Australia. The legend tells of the Father of All Bats engaged in a battle of wits with Rainbow Snake, the Aboriginal deification of water and the creator of life. Now, Rainbow Snake is now dummy, and he traps Sandbat and his clan in the depths of a watery place from which Sandbat can only complain but remains unable to trouble the people. Thank you. Now, before I take your questions, I just want to make sure that we got all that on the recording. Is that all right, Daniel?
Yes, Professor. We... Oh, wait. Let me check the...
And there's the text.
Somebody else. I'm still writing down notes.
Yes, I must apologize for the recording. It is, unfortunately not as clean as we might like. But my father should be here any moment to speak with you, if you're interested. As you can imagine, he loves talking about indigenous cults, and particularly, you know, the mythology and the religion, ancient religions of the Aborigines. And about that time, you see a large man walk in. A heavy-set, ruddy-faced white man with a bushy red beard. G'day, folks. I believe you were supposed to be meeting you, interested in the discussion I gave the other night on the Cult of Darkness, yes? Yes? Professor Cowles. He shakes hands. Jolly good to meet you.
Good morning, Professor. Yes, we came across an advert for your lecture through a friend of ours, a good friend Jackson Elias. Are you familiar with him?
Jackson Elias. Let's see here. You see him sort of subconsciously stare at the bookshelves. American writer of the occult. Death cults, maybe? Give or take?
Spot on.
I can't say I've ever met the man personally, but I believe if you... Somewhere on the shelf there, he says, dear, would you take a look? I think up there on the left, there's one of his volumes. It's been some time.
Do I pull down a book that has my name in it?
She starts to look, and she kind of looks at him like, Dad, what are you talking about? He's like, I may have left it in Australia.
Can I go look at the bookshelf that she's looking at?
Sure.
Do I see what Jackson Elias' book?
You do not.
Do you see Africa's dark sects?
You do not.
Worth a shot.
That was my other question.
I don't remember a whole lot, but yes. I assume that I would have a lovely conversation with him if I had the opportunity. He sounds like a fascinating writer, as I recall.
He was, most certainly.
You folks interested then in the father of all bats?
It is one of our more recent interests, yes.
Oh, good. Are you scholars then?
We come from a variety of places. Mr. Young here, Owen, he's one of our best scholars, and one of our party is still back in New York.
Oh, all right.
Yes, I'm a little bit of an author, more in the occult side of things.
Oh, really?
So similarly aligned to Mr. Elias, but not so much on the cults and stuff that he has recently been pursuing.
You see him go over to his desk. He says, and your name, sir, was...
Owen Young.
Mr. Young. Again, a pleasure to meet you. And could you, he asked for titles of your work. I'm most interested, part of the reason why I'm here at Miskatonic is to, do a little bit of research into, American, cults and folklore and American, academics. If you could give me some stuff, I'd be more than happy to look into what you have to say.
And I'll give him a few titles.
I see he writes it down really rapidly. And he makes some small talk. Oh, fascinating! So you think that the influence of Mesoamerican culture on the Native Americans may have passed some very important pieces of culture? Yes, quite fascinating. Obviously, we don't have that in Australia. Quite the same relationship between indigenous individuals and then, of course, those coming from across the pond, shall we say. But no, I think that's quite fascinating. I'll have to look into it. Thank you, Mr. Young. I go on too much. Again, what can I answer you in terms of your inquiries?
Would we be able to have some access to the slides that you showed during your lecture?
Of course. Absolutely. Yes. And you see him start rummaging around, and he starts pulling out slides and showing them to you.
Yes, we're thinking there may be some connection between several death cults. This being the reason why our good friend Jackson Elias sought you out. Did we actually see that he went to Australia at some point?
Yeah.
Yes,
I know you were looking on this document here. But I just don't. That's what I was trying to find. Where was it at? Do you remember when you? I thought you pointed at a spot.
I pointed out in my notes that it was mentioned that his itinerary included places such as Cairo, Hong Kong, Australia, and most recently England. That may have been a conversation, not a note.
Now you see here, the predominant investigation of this in the modern era, of course, anything that takes this from purely mythological to more archaeological and anthropological examinations of the modern era, would be done by one Arthur McWhirr.
Yes, he was mentioned in your talk. Do you have any of his writings that survived, or a book that may have been published?
Unfortunately, I believe, along with Jackson Elias's writings, that was left in Australia.
Oh, we'll just have to come visit you then.
Ah, well, no, we'd be more than, you know, ever, we'd be more than happy to host you when we return to Australia. It'll be some months from now, but...
Certainly. Do you have a departure date here in Arkham to return?
Yes.
Would you, by chance, be going round that Horn of Africa, round the long ways?
Oh,
or through
goodness.
The Magellan Strait?
Goodness, I hope not. We'll see what the easiest way is to get home.
Sorry, is this just for me?
No. Okay. That's one of the plates he shows. I just handed it to you because everybody else was looking at stuff.
That's fair.
We have a slide.
Is this the megalithic structure?
Yes.
Have you seen any connection between the cult of the Sand Bat and other cults throughout around the world?
Oh, yes. I think there are some disturbing parallels to, as I mentioned, the cults of Polynesia. It's one of the reasons why I came here. There are some parallels between. Have you heard of the mythological creature known, the mythological god known as? Excuse me, it's a bit of a hard one to pronounce. Cthulhu.
The
Polynesian, cults worship it as some sort of a sea god, but there are some interesting parallels in terms of mythology and methodology between the Polynesians, who worships this sea god who sleeps, and the Sandbat, who sleeps. There are some connections there, I do believe.
A cult role on whether or not I've heard of Cthulhu or not.
Sure,
I'm pretty sure Sybil hasn't. We got a 5 and a cult.
They're returning to Sydney in 7 months' time. So at the end of the semester,
and
basically.
So they'll be back
in
end
July.
Of July, beginning of August.
Right.
In the winter.
Hard pass.
No, you've heard of Cthulhu. You know that Cthulhu is supposedly a god who resides in this area called Rallier. I mean, this is all common description that he's going through. There are... if you're looking for more reading specifically, the Ponape scriptures were quite enlightening in terms of some of the connections.
You spell that?
Ponape, P-O-N-A-P-E.
Almost. One letter off.
My understanding was, unfortunately, the University of Sydney's copy, I believe, has recently gone missing. But they were quite, it was quite a fascinating read.
Did you take any notes by chance from your read-through of such scriptures?
He gives you some vague ideas. It's not going to be the same as reading a potential Cthulhu mythos book.
We're going to find a fucking stolen book in every city or continent we go to.
Yeah, all the cults are stealing all the books that talk about the cults.
This is the shout-out that I was talking about earlier. This is one of them. The Ponape scriptures are a major part of...
This one?
Need a better way to organize some of these.
Yeah, I need a better shelf. Nope, that's D&D.
A better way is in anyway.
Oh, there it is.
Right next to the D&D and right next to the 3.5 you still own.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Game. No, I know. Except for everything.
There's another one I'd like to play sometime.
Oh, God.
Oh, man!
Shadows of Yogg-Sothoth. The Ponape scriptures are a part of this one.
Well, that's fun.
More creepy megaliths.
I read most of that, and I like a lot of it, and I'd like to run it because that's original Cthulhu stuff. There is some real fuck you stuff in that. That's awesome.
Is it like when you get to the end of Choose Your Own Adventure and it goes, "And you've died. To restart, turn back to."
Yep, pretty much.
This Mr. Arthur McWhirr, is he Australian?
Yes. I got the plates. They were made by Arthur McWhirr some time ago. I got them through Robert McKenzie, mining engineer. And he's the executor of McWhirr's estate. Lovely man. Very, very helpful. Again, he was gracious enough to loan me McWhirr's diary for my studies, but unfortunately I did leave those in at home.
Sensibly so. You said the executor of his estate. Has something happened to Mr. McWhirr?
Cody doesn't remember. I'm pretty sure McWhirr's... Let me look. I think the plates in McWhirr happened X time ago. I don't think that something has happened to McWhirr recently other than Father Time caught up to McWhirr. I don't remember the timeline
but
exactly.
But not Father of All Bats. The number of bat puns in this is really disturbing.
Let me look at something.
There are bat-winged snakes and also cudgels and also bat guano in bat teeth.
Collect the whole set. Also the clan Sandbat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meatloaf's bat out of hell.
Meatloaf?
He would do anything for love.
But he wouldn't do that.
But I mean, you could...
By the way, that's giving up a Dr. Pepper. Anybody asked?
I mean, you could very much call Cthulhu a snake with bat wings. Like,
I would have to do a little bit of... I would have to do a little bit more research, but as I recall... McKinsey is the executor of the state, and I think McWhirr's investigations... I don't want to give you the wrong information, so I won't tell you, but I want to say McWhirr did this, like, 50 years ago or
That's
something
fine.
Like that.
I mean, as long as we know, like, oh, it's not that he was just murdered by a death cult, too.
No,
that's what I was looking for. And if it ain't there, it ain't there.
Or that these items were found because he was the only one that made it back, and the rest of the party died and turned into some kind of vampire thing.
Well, there was the injuries, of course, to the one part of the McWhirr party.
How large was his party?
Decent size, not too large. Nothing, no, it wasn't 50 men, but it wasn't two men and a pickaxe either.
Do you happen to have the names?
Thematically appropriate, you might say.
No. Do you happen to have a list of names of men on his expedition?
You know, are you interested in following up on the Cult of the Sandbat and traveling to Australia yourselves?
Possibly.
F*** yes.
We have,
what?
He did one of these, like...
It was
like
very, flinch. It was a very strong we're going to Australia vibe that I just got from Jasmine.
Yeah.
Mostly because I love your Australian accent after you listen to it for 4 minutes. Much improves.
I don't know how to do, like, I can do a, here it is, I'm talking as a man. Now, how do I do that? It doesn't work high-pitched.
Take Britain and add Texas, and you'll get there.
Yeah. You're just a Texas
It's
Brit.
Much easier to do in a man's accent.
Then don't try to be a woman.
It's almost a JFK. That last bit was.
Worf in it in New Zealand.
You see him start writing.
Hey, Brit.
On a piece of letterhead. You see him write out two quick notes. These'll help you if you like.
Hall passes.
He hands. You can see that one letter is to David, and one letter is to Mr. McKenzie. David is looking after the house while we're here.
What's David's last
name? Sport. Dodge. David Dodge. Lovely chap.
Sounds dodgy.
You sound dodgy.
But yes, I mean, this is after obviously an extended conversation with him. But he has basically written letters of introduction for you to David Dodge and to Mr. McKenzie. You notice that he's... Yeah, I just want to double check. He addresses the David Dodge one as Sydney, and the McKenzie one as Port Hedland. But yeah, if you'd like to go down and check it out for yourselves, you seem to be fairly capable investigators. And again, I'll be there at end of time.
Forgive me, I'm not very versed in... Australian geography, but I noticed they don't seem to be in the same city. How far apart are they?
Okay, Google. I don't know where Port Hedland is.
Your phone did not pick that up.
No, I was just being an ass.
Because Sydney's not on the north side, right? Isn't the majority...
Everything's on the coast.
I thought the majority of everything is on the southeast coast. Like the major places, I think. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah, because Sydney is, I think, but I think...
I thought Sydney and Melbourne weren't really that far away from each other.
But I think, like, Perth is on the other side of the country.
Port Hedland is in Western Australia on the northern side, so in the direction of, like...
Darwin?
Darwin's
at the, like, the 11 o'clock.
Darwin is not showing up anywhere on this map when I zoom out. It's hours and hours from Perth. Like, Port Hedland... Like, is Port Hedland is probably closer to Indonesia than it is to
Sydney. Yeah, it's on the opposite side.
Yeah, because Sydney's on the opposite side. Correct.
Yep.
Sydney's at like the 3:30, whereas Port Hedland is on the opposite end in Western Australia.
Yeah.
Go through the outback. I'm sure it'll go well for you.
Where was the... It's mentioned that the sandbat was trapped in the north.
You'd have to look over the... I don't remember all the details. And there's slight differences between my book and what they've given. They've given you.
The either last or next to last
paragraph.
In the
depths of the watery place from which sandbat can only complain. The region where this legend comes from is the Arafura Sea in northern Australia. But then there's a break, and it talks about Aboriginal deification. Right. So it's possible that those on the northern side on that Arafura Sea are the ones that have this legend of the sandbat being trapped.
Got him.
But they could also be Aboriginal anywhere.
Again, this is where if you learn of the legend of Cthulhu and some of these Indonesian cults, this is where some cross connections can be made.
Are the megalithic structures, are they found in the west in Western Australia?
Yes, the closest place you could get is to Port Hedland.
Okay.
The McGuirk State would be a start before the excursion.
So the assumption is that these megalithic structures are actually the great sleeping walls and dug great caves of the gods?
Possibly. I mean...
And then they were knocked down by the gods when the winds came through.
It could be a... It could be metaphorical for all we know. Then again, it may not be. And that's the most exciting part.
It's been a pleasure, Professor.
Yes. Please do keep in touch as you continue to explore. I'd love to hear, particularly Mr. Young, any further of your writings. And the rest of you, I wish you best of luck in your explorations. It is only through a united effort as mankind that we'll be able to look into this great mystery that is the histories and religions of these peoples.
How you doing over there, Schroeder?
This is the most JFK mankind of all time.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty good extra pronunciation.
You thought so?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Into the mic.
We choose to go to the moon.
Then we're going back. Did you see? We're going back to stay. I'm so excited.
Let's get there first. let's send something around the moon with a person in it to start. I'm super stoked. But let's... Yeah, you got a little. It's got to be a little more nasally if you're gonna be JFK. We choose to go to the moon. All right. So you're clearly done with my Australian accent.
No, I'm not. I just think the rest of the party has asked all the questions, and I could keep talking to you for hours. But I talk to an Australian at least once every other week.
By the way, Schroeder, completely unrelated tangent, but Australian Baseball League actually really, really fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
They play weird because it's basically Western Australia and Eastern Australia, and they have so far to travel that they'll like travel and play like a 3-game set and then take like 4 days off and then travel and play a 3-game set. But it's actually really, really fun to watch because it's mostly washed up pros and then like young Australians that they're trying to teach.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this a little bit.
It's a lot of fun to watch. Plus, they're on at super odd hours, but they have a YouTube channel that just catalogs all their games.
Yeah, I mean, the ball game would start at what, like 4 or 5 in the morning,
but it changes by like 3 hours depending if it's on in Western Australia or Eastern Australia. Moving onward, Lucas.
G'day.
What would you like to do since you are in the house? Jacques is at your beck and call. They can get you into a chair. The stairs are a bit hard to manage, but if you'd like to go down for the day, they can.
There's no way this woman doesn't have an elevator in her house.
I think there's absolutely a good reason why she doesn't have an elevator in the house.
Whatevs.
Why would she?
Because she's got a badass sweet staircase that you have to have your ass drugged down or hobbled down.
Whatever.
Or pushed.
No, I mean, I'm sure somebody can just push me around the grounds. Like, I'll read random books. Nothing.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm healing up. Like, that's all. I'm taking time.
What would you like to read?
No, I mean, it's a library, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, if you just want to pick up.
Yeah, I'll just find something that looks interesting.
Sure. You can read that.
That doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Dr. Seuss. The equivalent of Dr. Seuss in 1925. I don't think it was.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, there would have been
something. Wait, when was The Wizard of Oz written? Was that 30s?
Your ballpark.
No, it's before that, because that's when the movie came out.
That's right.
I want to say it's closer to the beginning of the century.
So she's got Oz books. I'll read those. It's weird shit.
Fair enough.
Because the movie was 37?
39, I think.
Something like that.
I'm reading The Wizard of Oz.
1900.
Yeah. Was it really that early? I didn't realize it was that early.
Yeah, yeah. 39 was the
93. Movie. Yep, 93. 39 works too.
Yep, we'll do. Yeah, that's more fun. Okay. I'm gonna walk some shit back. As you're sitting there, just about the time that Dorothy's house lands on top of the bitch from the east, the doorbell rings.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Jacques opens the door and Lieutenant Poole steps in with a few things in a bag.
Lieutenant?
Good to see you. Morning. I wasn't able to retrieve much, but thanks to Miss Carlisle's influence, Mrs. Carlisle. Miss.
It's just continue and stop stuttering.
I was able to retrieve these things.
Jacques, please.
It's a good bit.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
He pulls out a pair of lion's claws, a bizarre looking mask, a carved scepter, and a book.
What's that?
Oh, the book you didn't look at before.
I will take that.
Sure.
Rest of these things are weird. Please put them back in the bag and set them aside.
Before you
fucking take them with him, I'm gonna knock you the fuck out right where you're sitting.
Not telling him, no, just set them aside.
Yeah, I know.
I would encourage you to take a look at them, Lucas. Because when I'm saying they look weird, I think, like...
Sure, I'll
look. Okay, that was my clue that you should ask more questions. Hey, Cody, what do they look like?
You said it was a pair of lion's claws? Like,
yes.
Claws or paws?
They are full paws.
Okay, like, can you wear them?
As you look at them, they do appear to be gloves.
I kind of put one on. Does it fit?
It does, actually, and it feels almost like you can oppose the claws a little bit.
I kind of look at... I look at Poole and go... Take it off.
Right.
It appears you notice to be more of a weapon. Somebody may make a film about this later that is more like razor blades.
The scepter is carved from wood. Nature roll?
Nature boy.
Not any wood you're aware of.
Do I have nature?
I'm pretty sure not.
Nature? Or natural world, you mean? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Not a white.
I only have a 10.
No, roll a 10.
Roll not 5.
Hey, oh, look at fuck. That. Tick that skill.
So that is actually a...
Pass by half.
Half.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
You know that this is carved out of baobab.
Baobab?
Whoa. You know those funky looking African trees that you always see in the savannah?
Oh, yeah.
With the multiple trunks?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that is.
You remember Lion King?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave can actually sing the song better than you can.
You ask my wife, that's how I sing every song.
That's how I was gonna say.
Kind of figured that out.
Yeah.
We were singing, what was she saying? She
Except
was singing
for
something.
Hello Mabel. He's got that one down for some reason.
Because that one I can understand.
Hello Mabel, if you're able, do come out and play.
Yeah, it's not that far off.
For an hour or two.
You notice it is inset with runes, Lucas.
Okay.
They
Sorry, how
don't
do you spell that. Baobab?
Yeah, Baobab.
Spellstones?
Baobab. These runes are not recognizable as any language I think you know. So.
So not even English?
I mean.
Not in English.
So I've seen an image of, like, Oriental writing. Would I be able to assess that it's Oriental writing?
Just at a glance,
is it Roman characters?
No.
And it's not, Roman characters.
It's not hieroglyphic.
It is not Chinese characters. The closest thing, if you're like, it's, you know, it, one of these things is not like the other, the closest you're going to get is Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's not Egyptian hieroglyphics. Mm-hmm. You don't think, you would know.
Right.
But.
Wingdings.
Jacques?
Right. It looks very much like Wingdings.
Jacques. Jacques?
Yes.
There you are. Is there anything in the library?
Really loud.
Sorry. Is there anything in the library on various types of these things?
Before you get too far in the scepter, I'm really building up to the mask bit. Can we do the mask bit?
Sure.
Thanks. Okay. This is the one.
Stop stealing Cody's thunder.
No. It's just I'm
trying to do a thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to a point. Here.
Instant hit.
It is a carved wooden mask that appears to be of African origin, with four hideous faces perched atop a thick corded neck with basket-like reed, feather, and fabric collar, designed, you would imagine, to hide the wearer's face.
Does it shimmer as he looks at it? Compel him to put it on?
So, it... To give, there is an image of this in the book, and it is utterly terrifying. Like, imagine if on top of my head, right, I wore a neck stalk that went up, say, another 8 to 12 inches, okay? And then imagine if you had, like, four hideous faces pointed in four cardinal directions on top of one neck stalk.
I thought this was this is a mask?
Can I see a picture? Without ruining anything?
No, you can't see a picture out of the book. Hold on. I will try and find you a picture.
Snap a photo of the picture on your phone and show me a picture.
What I'm trying to relate is that at the bottom of this neck stalk is a band that would go on like a headband.
Mm-hmm.
So the neck stalk would go on top of your head, and there is a fabric that comes down over the wearer's face.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it makes your face semi-invisible while this headstock increases your height and points out faces in the four cardinal directions.
Similar to the helmets that I can't remember the name of the people wore.
The He-Man villain.
Huh?
I
was thinking Chronicles of Riddick. They had the helmets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the...
I can't remember the name of those.
Starts with an N.
The,
God, I haven't seen the movie forever. Oh, that's fucked.
That's pretty scary.
Yep.
Not necromancers, but it was
something like close. That. It's necro something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good old necro something.
Necromongers.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Call it.
I was going to go with Necrocomicon, but.
Lucas, make me a D100 rule.
Why is there not a Necro Comic Con?
There is. It's in Rhode Island, and it's every Lovecraftian. 2 years. And I may know someone who presented there.
Nice.
It's a 92.
That sounds high.
Oh, I think I just twisted.
You need to spend a lot of luck.
More than likely.
So yeah, that's what you've got.
Loving. Is what I've got.
So back to my first question. Is there anything in the library in this house?
Now remember that.
That has to do with runes or hieroglyphics, anything like that?
He points you to... No, probably not.
Nothing at all?
No. Okay. It's not... This is not an occult library. This is...
No, I know, but she just has a bunch of random books. Like, I don't...
Right, but I mean...
Like, her brother went on an expedition. Like, he could have weird books laying
around.
That
was in the special stock.
That were not in the vault.
He got four of them.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Poole. This is... Creepy.
Agreed. If you don't mind, I'll go back to work now.
Suppose that's best. Enjoy your evening.
What would you like to do for the rest of Wednesday, Lucas?
Read that book.
Which book?
Africa's Dark Sects.
There's a witch book?
Ooh, we'll get there. We haven't got to that one yet.
Such a sublime find.
I can tell you that Africa's Dark Sects is written in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
It is by Nigel Blackwell.
Mm-hmm. We already got that.
It was written in 1920. and it is in sexto decimo. Blue pasteboard covers with marbled end papers and blue stained page edges.
It is a book about dark sex in Africa.
Fact.
And it is the library stamped copy?
It is. When you open it up, okay. You do see that it is stamped with the markings of, you know, Harvard, property of Harvard Library, Harvard University Library, blah, blah, blah.
So is this the type of system where there's a card that you can pull out and see who took the book out?
I don't know that they would have that at this point, but they would have had something.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure they had that in fucking Music Man.
I understand that, but this is also a special collections type book. This isn't something that your average student
was never
was
actually
out.
Checked out of the library. It was like a
right. It's a go to a locked vault and read the book there.
It's the Miriam, super secret forbidden section.
I suppose that's
Miriam
fair.
Miriam might have records of who accessed the book, though.
It's true.
We already asked her for that.
Yeah, but
lest you forget, it also went poof in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, well, now you could call her and say, "I'm an invalid. Come visit me. I have your book."
Well played.
First thing I thought of.
You can make a library Easter roll.
All right.
By the way, I'm at the Carlisle Estate.
Come visit me.
Come
I'm in
out.
A wheelchair.
Don't try and jump the fence.
Dogs will eat you. Yes.
Pass, hard pass.
Normal pass.
But if it was a DG roll, it'd have been a crit.
Apparently it goes really well for you. 3 weeks. So mark a 3. It's not enough to understand the book. You get that this is some sort of like weird like travel log slash diary slash expose that also goes a little fantasy. Like, if you were to take like No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain, right, and put it into a book, like it's kind of like this. It's one half Dr. Livingston, I presume, but also like kind of weird expose on the horrors of the inner continent. One part Anthony Bourdain, one part what's the book that I'm thinking of?
Gulliver's Travels.
One part Apocalypse Now.
Heart of Darkness.
Right. It's very Heart of Darkness meets Anthony Bourdain because it's kind of travelogy, but it's also kind of weird and creepy.
Anything again? And again, I'll ask. Anything written in the margins? Anything weird?
No notes that you can find so far.
No pages. Dog-eared.
No, nothing like that. The rest of you all arrive on Wednesday night.
Are we going to Australia first?
I think I am.
Part of me feels like that's almost too easy.
Oh, of course.
You went from, we don't know anything about this, to this is just too easy and obvious. You shouldn't go here.
I know it's Cthulhu and not masks. And I know it's sand bats and not death cults with bloody tongues. But gosh darn it, I want to go to Australia because I'll never go in real life.
Well, not with that kind of attitude.
You do realize 9 out of 10 most poisonous snakes live there, and I kind of have a thing with that?
Well, just don't go to where they are.
Just stay in the water.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Well, I mean, you're not going to die slow.
Snakes can swim, Schroeder.
The shark will get you first.
No, the Portuguese man of war will.
Our title track, Ideathesia, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their EP, Catharsis. Find more of their music at sleepfortheweary.com. Introduction compiled from Nyarlathotep by H.P. Lovecraft. Like what you heard? Hear more episodes at rancorsbrothel.com. Join the conversation on Facebook with the Rancors Brothel and on Twitter at rancors_brothel. Send comments to therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Discover exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel by becoming a patron of our podcast. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, listeners. See you next time.